Democratic state lawmakers in Texas have fled the state to prevent passage of a redistricting bill aimed at giving Republicans more seats in Congress. That's bringing back memories of the Act 10 political battle in Wisconsin. It's Tuesday, August 5th. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Courtney Everett in for Alex Crow. Coming up, Wisconsin Congressman Tom Tiffany wants to eliminate an exemption that allows universities to hire international experts without having to compete for a limited pool of visas. And we hear from a mother trying to find a safe place for her family after losing their home in Beloit. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
Dozens of Democrats in the Texas House of Representatives have fled to states like Illinois to prevent a vote on voting maps aimed at protecting Republicans' congressional majority. In 2011, it was Democratic Wisconsin state senators who went to Illinois to block a bill severely restricting public employee union bargaining rights. Former State Senator John Erpenbach says Wisconsin Republicans also took steps, including issuing what he calls artificial arrest warrants for their return.
The arrest warrants didn't mean anything. They withheld paychecks, but I actually signed over power of attorney when it comes to financial affairs to my chief of staff, and he could pick up the paycheck.
Erpenbach says he and his 13 Democratic colleagues knew the anti-union bill was going to pass, but their departure gave the public time to learn about it. He says he hopes Democrats in Texas stick together long enough to stop the GOP redistricting attempt. When a big old tree is cut down, it can take decades to replace it. As Sarah Lear reports, Madison officials are trying to protect those trees with updated rules for construction projects.
A recent study found that just 10% of Madison's trees provide more than half the city's leaf cover. That leafy canopy helps provide shade, increase property values, and improve air quality, says Madison's city forester Ian Brown.
A small number of very large trees provide the vast majority of the benefits.
Now, Madison's mayor is introducing a measure designed to protect the city's trees, especially the big ones. Already, contractors need special permission to disturb the area within 5 feet of a tree. The mayor's plan would increase that protection zone based on the size of the tree. The changes also would give the city power to suspend or revoke permits from developers who break tree protection rules. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A bear that had been wandering the North Woods with its head stuck in a plastic jug has been freed. The black bear was first spotted in Bayfield County in late July, and what a representative of a local humane association called a terrible predicament. It kept wandering as residents of the region reported sightings in the hope of saving it. Over the course of the search, the bear traveled more than 50 miles and was spotted in three counties, according to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. The bear was sighted outside a home near Cable on Sunday. According to the DNR, a trained wildlife professional was able to tranquilize the bear using a dart. Staff with the U.S. Department of Agriculture Wildlife Services cut the jug from her head. The DNR says the two-year-old female was relocated to a safe wooded area with ample food and water nearby. She was about 30 to 80 pounds underweight when she was rescued. They say she was alert when she was released and quickly began feeding on a patch of berries. A proposal from a Wisconsin congressman would make it harder for universities to use a work visa program to hire faculty from other countries. Joe Schultz has more on a bill from Representative Tom Tiffany.
Tiffany's bill would eliminate an exemption that allows universities to use a work visa program without counting toward a cap imposed on other employers.
Universities should compete just like private employers to be able to bring those people in.
The H-1B visa program is only available to people with a bachelor's degree or higher. 85,000 of those visas are issued each year to private employers. Grant Sovereign is an immigration attorney from Madison.
I find it interesting that someone who wants to support businesses is saying, we want the government to control the 1% of people who you want to hire.
A recent Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce survey showed more than 90% of employers support expanding those work visas. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
After the break, we'll hear from reporter Nick Rommel, who spoke to a mother struggling to find housing for her family in Beloit, where one of every eight students in the city's schools is homeless. Stay with us.
Music with more.
I take personally some heart when I'm at a concert and there's a symphony, and at the end of the first movement, you hear applause. That, to me, is a good thing because it means these are people who are fairly new to the genre. But, you know, if it's that exciting, it's a great thing.
Join Norman Gilliland for The Midday, weekdays on WPR Music.
The number of homeless public school students is rising in Wisconsin. For one mom in Rock County, months of homelessness meant moving from motels to shelters and sleeping in her car in the dead of winter. Nick Rommel has more on one family's struggle in Beloit and the community's attempt to help others like them.
2 years ago, Sandrina Garcia came to Wisconsin for a fresh start. Life in her home city of Toledo, Ohio, was feeling like a burden. In Beloit, she had an aunt who needed a caretaker, so she took her two kids and moved there, living off her savings. But when her aunt died, there was a problem. Unpaid debts on the house. It was foreclosed on, and Garcia and her kids had to leave. In early 2024, they became homeless. Garcia had worked with homeless families in her job at a housing nonprofit back in Ohio. Experiencing homelessness herself has opened her eyes.
I mean, the things that I saw, I remember one time I was sleeping at a rest area in the middle of winter, and there was a family, father with his wife, with two children, and she was pregnant.
She was awake, turning her own car on for heat and then off again to save gas. She looked over at the other family's car.
And I remember it was like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I saw the dad just turning on the van, turning it off. And I just remember crying because I felt that was my first time in homelessness that I felt helpless.
She prayed for God to help the family. The next day, a relative sent her $40, so she gave the family half. In return, they bought Garcia and her kids a hot dinner from Wendy's.
I've seen the most giving people have less. And I've seen the most greedy people have more. And that's the truth.
Homelessness is a growing problem in Beloit. One out of every eight students in the city's schools are homeless, based on a federal definition, which includes those staying in motels or relatives' houses due to financial need. Part of Robin Stutt's job is making that count. She's the homeless liaison for the school district of Beloit and says family homelessness is getting worse in her city.
The school has become the place where you have a free meal, we have clothing closets, we have hygiene products.
She says the basic problem is housing prices rising faster than incomes for working class people in Beloit. There's only so much she can do.
Yeah, we're able to offer everything but a house.
After losing her aunt's house, Garcia didn't head to truck stops right away. She still had savings and moved into a motel. That cost about $2,000 a month. But she said it was impossible to find an apartment at that price. She still had delinquent accounts from her divorce. Living with her aunt meant she didn't have rental history, and she found that being honest about her situation with landlords didn't help much. So when money ran out, Garcia turned to shelters. One of them was Family Promise of Greater Beloit. Ann Bruce is its director. She says demand is high.
We have over 100 people on our wait list.
100 people we for have, 9 spots?
Yes. We have 9 rooms and we have over 100 people.
Families are admitted for 3 months while the shelter works with them to find new housing. But Bruce says that's not easy in Beloit. There just aren't enough houses that are affordable for her residents or landlords willing to rent to them. Garcia has plenty of ideas about what Beloit could do to address homelessness. She says it needs a centralized daytime facility with hot meals and showers. She says it needs more transitional housing where, quote, credit scores don't define your worth. And one day she hopes to open her own center for youth aging out of foster care. But working on big plans is hard when you're always focused on the next night ahead. She's always on the move, but says homelessness also feels like you're not moving at all.
You're stuck in the same position, and life is just people are coming and going, taking their kids to the park, going to work, but you're like here.
Earlier this summer, Garcia moved to a shelter in Beaver Dam, got a job in Stoughton, and started looking for a rental in Dane County. But by July, she'd made a different decision and went back to Ohio. "I think I'm homesick," she wrote in a text message, "and nothing is working here." Nick Rommel, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Taking a look at weather for today, expect partly sunny skies with highs reaching in the low 80s statewide. And then tonight, partly cloudy. Lows will reach the upper 50s to low 60s. And then tomorrow, more clouds and more humid. Chance of scattered showers or thunderstorms later. And highs will reach in the upper 70s to mid 80s. And then on Wednesday, partly cloudy and humid. Scattered showers and thunderstorms, as well as Thursday and Friday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm Courtney Everett, in for Alex Crow. Our producers today were John Davis and Deneen Smith. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.